Any other questions? Hello, Martha.
Is everybody good to go? Except for me, because I'm not eating. Are you guys all, does everyone have a handout, which I'm sure has a lot of pizza stains on it?
Yeah.
You guys are good? Okay. So much for schedules. What time do you guys want this to finish? Finish it whenever you guys want. 2 o'clock? Okay. Okay, we can try to, okay, somebody, I need a timekeeper. Okay, I didn't know you guys liked pizza. Okay, one of you guys, tell me 5 minutes before two. Okay? So we can start in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, amen. So here we are, right? Last talk. And honestly, I had nothing for you guys. Up until like 2 a.m. last night. Thing is, as you can tell by like church today, it's been a really hectic weekend. Especially with like Bishop, and there's actually another retreat that was going on this weekend, and you guys, and it's been a very, very hectic weekend, so I never had time to prepare this talk. So I went home last night, and I really felt like I was going to come here and just stare blankly at you guys. And you guys would just stare blankly at me, and we just look at each other for the rest of the 45 minutes. I felt really, really bad. So the picture I kept on getting is, what would happen if you guys didn't hear this last talk? Like, what would be the worst thing? Because really, that was a viable option before 2 o'clock last night. You know, so what would happen? What would you guys look like if you didn't hear this last talk? So I started thinking about what we had heard from Abuna the day before and kind of where you guys would be. So right now, if we don't have any talk and you guys go home, you guys would know why I should trust in God. Right? That's what Abuna talked about in the morning. Why I should trust in God? Because he is faithful, because he is this, Panto Creator, Almighty, blah, 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 right? So I know why I should trust in God. Secondly, you guys would know how I can like develop that trust in God, how I can start that trust in God, how I can choose to kind of decide to trust in God, make that initial decision that because he is this, and this, now I'm going to trust him with everything I have. So that's great, right? I know why I should trust in God. I know how I can develop that trust. I'm good to go, right? I'm going to decide to trust in God right now. Well, that's great. And you know what? You're probably going to go home, and on the bus ride, you're going to trust in God. And maybe tonight with your families, you're going to trust in God. But the funny thing that's going to happen, tomorrow, the day after, Wednesday, Thursday, whenever, something's going to happen. I don't know what it is, and it's probably different for every single person in this room, but some problem, some stress, some crazy thing's going to happen in my life that's going to question who I'm putting my trust in. That's going to question whether or not I really should trust God with my whole life. Okay, and we don't want to be one of those people that just trust God for a weekend, for a day, for a retreat, and then like the first sign of danger, the first sign of problems, I run away. No. We want to be a person who trusts God every day of their life, every second of their life. And that is your theme verse for the talk for today, is Psalm 44, 6-8, and it's in your handout, which I'm sure none of you guys are looking at. It says, for I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. There's three words that are very, very important. Four, counting the. Anybody know what they are? In there. It's a phrase. Take a shot.
Wait a minute. Give me a second.
Okay, I'll give you. Okay. Everyone wait. Everyone put everything on hold. Four letters and the is four words and the is the second word. The key phrase here, people.
Oh, all the day.
All the day long.
Yeah.
Okay. Very, very good. That's the whole point of this. Is that we want to be one of those people who trust God in the morning and then night comes around. Well, no, I got to take care of this on my own. I got to look to something else. King David trusted God all the day long. Whether some crazy king was chasing him, whether he was fighting a giant, whether he was ruling over the biggest kingdom in the world at the time, King David trusted God in every one of those things. And he said, I'm going to trust God all the day long. Whether problems, whether bow, whether sword, whether spear, whether whatever enemy comes after me, I'm going to trust in God. So that's our goal for today. That's our goal. I want you guys to leave this room saying, no matter what faces me in the world, no matter what problem I encounter on the way home, with my family, with my friends, with whatever, I'm going to trust in God all day long. So in order to help us do that, I kind of outlined four different obstacles that get in the way of me trusting God. Okay? And are you guys going to write these down?
I will.
Spent a lot of effort on this handout. 2:30 in the morning. I would appreciate it. So four obstacles that get in the way of me trusting in God. First one is doubts. Okay, that's the blank. Is doubts. Subs look very good. So doubts. This is like the all-encompassing one, right? This is when we hear about trusting God. The opposite of trust is when we doubt. If I trust someone, what's the opposite is I doubt that person. Okay, and this is the obvious one. But my question to you guys, and hopefully like I can get some responses. What do we doubt with God? That'll come through for me. What else? That he hears me.
That it'll happen like right away.
Yeah, his time, his timing. Okay, some people doubt he exists. Some people doubt that he really loves me as much as Sunday school teacher says he does. But the thing with why we doubt is, does anyone know why we doubt? Because it's very, very normal, and there's nothing inherently wrong about doubting. I doubt, we all doubt sometimes. But why do we do it? We got to find out where the source of our doubt comes. Does anyone know? This is a smart group. Fear, okay. No, sorry. sorry. Okay. The reason we doubt is because we don't see him. We can't see him. Do you doubt who your parents are? No. I see my parents. Do I doubt, the food that I'm eating? No. I can see the food that's right there. The food is right there. So therefore, I can't doubt its existence. The problem with God is I don't see God. You know, it's like I remember, like when I was in high school, whatever, my mom, I never like met my tata. My tata died, okay? And this is very bad. But my tata died, okay? When I was younger, my mom always used to tell me, she says, your tata was the most gorgeous woman in Zorro. I'd be like, Mom, she's like an 85-year-old Egyptian lady. Like, how hot could she be, you know? But she would say, your tata, and I'd be like, give me a picture. Like, show me a picture of this beautiful Egyptian woman. No pictures. So why could I not believe that my tata was hot? Was because I never saw her. No one ever proved to me that she was an attractive woman. Same thing with God. Is that I can't see God, therefore he doesn't exist. And he doesn't love me. And he didn't rise from the dead. And he's not going to come through for me. And his timing is off. So we don't see him. And believe me, this isn't something new. This isn't something that is specific to the church in Howell or the church in D.C., they've been doing this for thousands and thousands of years. If you look in your handout, Luke chapter 24, after Christ had risen from the dead, these are the people talking. They said they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had looked upon a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See, the problem with these guys, okay, these guys were probably really, really good people, but they were looking at Christ and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. Okay, and I said the problem is that I only trust things I can see. So you guys want the solution, okay? So every problem, there's going to be a solution. So in your handout, write this down. The solution is to stop looking for God and start seeing God. It's kind of deep, okay? I'll let it sink in for a second. Stop looking for God and start seeing God. This sounds stupid. Sounds really stupid because they're the exact same thing. Looking and seeing are the same thing. Actually, they're completely different. Okay, and the problem today, if you really want to understand this problem of trusting God and doubting God, is people are too freaking busy looking for God. They look for God in books. They look for God in science. They look for God in, like, the world. They look for God in arguments and fighting over religion and denominations and all this thing to find God. And they're looking, where is God? And the funny thing is, God is right in front of them. And they're not seeing God, they're looking for God. There's a story, I don't know if you guys have heard it, but it's kind of a funny story. This guy was on a boat, and like his boat like tipped over or whatever, and he got stranded on an island. Okay, and he cried out to God and said, God, help me. God, I need you to rescue me, and so I can see you. Okay, so, like, the next day, a boat came, like, a rescue boat came and said, buddy, like, we can help you. Come with us. He said, no, God's going to come and help me. Thank you. Next time they sent like a helicopter like lights and everything, and the guy said, no, don't worry, everything's okay, God's gonna save me. Next time they sent like the Coast Guard was like, buddy, you really need to leave this island. He said, don't worry, I don't know what you guys are doing here, God's gonna rescue me. Of course, the guy didn't get rescued, ended up dying to heaven, and he was like, God, like, what are you doing? I thought you were gonna rescue me. And God's like, hey, stupid, I sent you the boat, the Coast Guard, and the helicopter. Like, what are you doing? I'm right in front of you. And that's a lot of times what we do with God. We say, like, God, where are you in my life? And I promise you, I don't know any of you for longer than a day, but I promise you that God is doing great things in your life. And God is doing, like, amazing things in your life. And if we are smart enough to open our eyes and see him in the great things, then that's going to change everything. Like, a lot of times we're very pessimistic. We're cupped, okay? We have to be pessimists. Okay, a lot of times we look at the cup that's half empty. Okay, we say, God, why don't I have more friends? And where are you? I can't see you because I don't have any friends. And, you know, I only have a couple friends. Well, he's stupid. There's a couple really, really good friends that God put in your life to use you. No, we fixed it. Okay. He threw me off. Sorry. What was I saying?
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I look and say, God, why don't I have more friends? And God's saying, hey, buddy, look at the friends I gave you. I gave you great friends to go with. Okay, God, you know, like, why don't I have more blessings in my life? Why don't I have more joy? God's saying, I gave you some joy, but you're not seeing it. I'm giving you peace, and you're looking for peace somewhere else. Okay, if you look at the verse, the next verse, actually. Oh. Okay? This is the next verse where Christ is talking to these people who weren't seeing him. They were looking at him. And he said, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Key part here. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. How many? Christ said, see, twice in there. He said, touch me and see. Stop looking at me and come near me. Okay? That's the way you're going to get rid of your doubts. Realize I'm telling you guys. You need to understand. Don't just take my word for this. Is God is doing great things in your life. And acknowledge those things like 100%. It's going to get you through a lot of problems. It's going to get you through a lot of pain and suffering. Okay? So God is doing great things in our lives, right? Okay. Number one, that was doubts. Number two is the world / myself. Okay? We can discuss both of them. The world, myself. Whether you guys know it or not, every day of your life, the world is sending you certain messages, whether it be through internet, TV, radio, friends. The world is sending you a message about different things. Okay, it sends you a message of, I don't know, sex is whatever. Sex is normal, you know? It's a natural thing, and people have it whenever they want. And, like, I don't know, certain words are very acceptable in jokes and stuff like that. They're fun. You know, these are funny. Like, these are little things that the world says we don't even realize. That, you know, how do I know that word's fun? Oh, because the world told me. Because, you know, some TV show uses it. The world sends us messages all the time. If you guys don't realize that, you're going to get very caught up. Hi, Marina. Okay? You're going to get very caught up in the messages of the world. The number one message the world sends you guys, sends us, is what? Anyone know? A general message that the world just keeps on hammering, especially this country, hammers to us.
Freedom.
Freedom is along those lines. Are you going to take a shot? You don't really need God because you have
yourself.
The world, and number one thing in America is look out for number one. Take care of yourself, okay? You make as much money as you can. You be as successful as you can. You don't, those people in Mexico, don't worry about that. You take care of yourself and yourself alone. And that's like the worst and most dangerous message you can listen to. It's going to turn you into very selfish people. And the reason that this message sucks is because God's message is so much different. Look at the verse. Actually, before the verse, the problem, okay? The problem is God's message, or the world's message is very different from God's message. The world's message is very different from God's message. If you look at James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." St. James here is clearly drawing lines in the sand. He's saying you want to be on God's side or the world's side. You want the world to solve your problems or God to solve your problems. Because the problem is you can't have two. You can't have both. You know, I always think of like when my brother got married. I loved my sister-in-law. She's a great woman, very like angelic girl. If I had hated my sister-in-law, could me and my brother be as close as we are? Could I hang out at his house? Could I babysit his kid? There's no way. If, you know, every time I went, I said, "Oh, you're going to bring that, you know, lady back in?" Like, how weird would that be? No, because you can't have both. Okay? Same thing with God. Okay? We're that, like, husband, and we got a brother and a wife. And, no. Sorry. Never mind. Okay, forget that announcement. Okay? You can't have both. Okay? You can't have both. You either got to pick God or, what's the opposite of God? The world, okay? God or the world, okay? I said 2 a.m., okay? I said 2 a.m. So what's the solution to this, right? I got to pick God or the world. Solution is acknowledge him in everything I do and realize my stupidity. Acknowledge him in everything I do and realize my stupidity. The problem with this whole concept of the world is against God and all that is because we live in the world and we work in the world and we go to school in the world and we have friends in the world and you can't take me out of the world. I'm not going to no monastery anytime soon. So I have to live in the world. So how do I get past this problem of being in the world and not of the world is this, is acknowledging him in everything I do. Okay? When I go to school, I go to school for God. When I go to work, I go to work for God. When I do anything, I acknowledge him. When I have my friends, God is in the midst. When I'm in church, God is in the midst. Anytime I do anything, I acknowledge him. King Solomon really taught us in a very, very famous verse. Okay, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You guys should know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Okay, that's really the key to this whole business of being in the world and not of the world. And that's why, like, how many seniors do we have? Seniors, right? Okay, so you guys are going to college. And people always say, like, what's the college that God wants me to go to? Why won't God, like, scream the answer, what college he wants me to go to? Well, God, like, the college God wants you to go to is the one where you're going to acknowledge him in it. Like, God doesn't care if you go to, you know, NIT or what is it called? NGIT or whatever, okay? Whatever these schools are, or the other school, okay? He wants you to go to the place that you're going to acknowledge him. Okay, and that's the decision. Okay, where should I work? Where does God want me to work? Like, God doesn't care what company you work for. He just wants you to be in the company that you're going to acknowledge him and glorify him with. Okay? So what was number one? Doubts. Okay, thank you, servant. Okay, number one was doubts. Number two was? The world, myself. And number three is disappointments. Disappointments. All of us, whether we know it or not, and whether we acknowledge it or not, have hopes and dreams, have certain aspirations for my life. You know, somebody tell me a hope or dream they have for their life. It can be stupid. Probably is going to be a what?
Alive.
Okay.
To be a doctor.
To be a doctor. Okay. To be a lawyer. Nobody has like cool dreams? Basketball? 20/20 vision. Okay. That's probably never going to happen. Okay. But all of us have hopes. I can say that I'm legally blind too. I'm legally blind. To be president. Okay. That's the point, is all of us have these big dreams. To be basketball players, to be famous, to be all this. The problem is what happens when these dreams aren't realized? What happens when these dreams don't turn out the way we want them, and we get disappointed? What's the first inclination we have when I have a dream and it doesn't happen? When I have a certain path for my life, blame God. God, I wanted to marry this girl. And I had my hopes and dreams set on marrying this girl. And God said, no. You're going to marry someone else. We say, God, you know what? I trusted you with this whole marriage business, and you disappointed me. You let me down. And you did this, this, and this. That's a big, big problem, this is, right? We blame God for everything. We say, how could you do that? And we turn on God very, very quickly. It's so easy to turn on God because it's this problem of looking out for number one. It's number one has a certain idea where my life should go. And when that life takes a wrong turn or a different turn, we say, hold on a second. This whole business of trusting God, we throw it out the window. The problem is sometimes things don't always go the way we planned. Sometimes things don't always go the way we planned. But you... Sorry. Oh, are you serious? Wow. Okay. So we'll go to the solution to that problem. Okay, very, very quickly. The solution to that problem is to wrestle with God. Wrestle with God. And there's no joking in that. I really mean that. Yeah, okay. But it's even more like fight with God. A lot of times when we get disappointed with God, we become very Egyptian with God. You know, like, you know when someone, like, when your parents get upset with you, they're like, Mishakalamak. You know, Mishayzushuf Khalitik is what my mama would say. You know, I don't want to see you, I don't want to talk to you. Okay, that's how we do with God. God, I'm upset with you, I'm going to go cry in the corner. Why? Why? When God disappoints you, go to Him. Say, God, I thought that the plan was for me to marry this girl. And I was pretty sure that that's what you wanted, and I'm trying to do this business of trusting you. What the heck happened? Did you mess up? Did I mess up? Did she mess up? Did something go wrong? God, I was set on going to this school, and I got rejected. What the heck happened? What the heck happened? Okay? And a lot of us are scared to do that. No, we don't want to offend God. Like, God is, like, very, like, dependent on the way I treat Him. God doesn't care the way you treat Him, okay? Go to God and say, God, I got a big problem here, and you're... like, number one guy I'm coming to. The reason I say that is because when you go to God, do you know what the answer is? I can tell you the answer before you go to Him. The answer is found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. That when you go to God and say, God, I didn't get into this school, and I'm upset, and I'm disappointed. Explain yourself right now. God says, settle down, stop crying, and look, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God's answer. That's God's answer. That's a pretty decent answer, right? That's pretty decent. God says, settle down for 3 seconds, okay, and just realize that the plans I have for you are plans to prosper you. A lot of us feel like God is like the fun police. Like, you know, like He's spoiling the party. That He's got these plans for me, and you know what? Like, all it is so I don't have fun, and I'm not successful, and I don't have friends. God says, settle down. My plan is for you to prosper. My plan is to give you a hope and a future. That's the plan that God has for you. So it's very, very important to go to God anytime you get disappointed. And this is like across the board. You get disappointed in school, go to God. You get disappointed in work or family or whatever, go to God and see the answer He has. This is like the general answer God's going to give you. But again, God has a specific answer for each person. And God knows the hurts of every person. Okay, and believe me, He sees every tear that you guys cry, that we cry. Okay, so He's ready to answer you very, very specifically in the context of this general answer. Okay? So we wrestle with God through our disappointments. Last one, number 4, is this obstacle is tragedies. And this is one that I snuck in last night. Okay, and obviously, it's a big one right now, okay? We don't need to rehash what happened on Monday. But forget about Monday for a second. There's tragedies that happen every day. And there's actually much more personal tragedies. Like, thank God, and by the grace of God, there was nothing personal to any of us that happened on Monday. We don't know anyone that died. And you know, but there's a lot of personal tragedies in my life. A tragedy could be my parents splitting up. A tragedy could be, like, a death in the family. A friend who, like, stabs me in the back. These are the type of tragedies I'm talking about. Okay, of course we have the serious tragedies of like deaths, But I'm also talking about personal tragedies. The problem here is that pain and suffering are growing every day. And this has to kind of do with the whole Virginia Tech thing. And if you want the thing that I really saw in all this, okay, and this is coming from a college student who walks into a classroom every day. The thing that really kind of shook me up about this whole thing, and probably didn't shake you guys up as much, is that evil is getting one step closer to me. Okay, like, okay, 9/11 is very appropriate for you guys, right? 9/11, all of a sudden people are shook up. Why? Because now I realize that I'm in an office building, or I'm in the street, and some nutcase could drive a plane into a building, or some tower could collapse. That was scary. Then, like a couple years back, we had the DC sniper. I'm sure you guys heard about it. That was pretty scary for us because now, not only in an office building can someone drive an airplane through it, now I'm in the gas station and some guy can blow my head. That's really, really scary. And now it's one more step. Now the place, the institution of learning that I go to every day for a couple hours a day, some guy can do the same thing. Like, where does it end? Is it going to be in my house tomorrow? In my car? In my neighbors? Like, where does it end? Evil is growing. And you know, I was talking at the other retreat about lukewarmness. And I was saying how there's no such thing as lukewarmness anymore in this world. We have very, very good and very, very evil. Like I was saying before, lines are being drawn. Sides are being taken. Okay? Evil is growing every day. And so, what do? How can we trust God when I see pain and suffering growing every day? This doesn't make sense. Well, it's a good thing it doesn't make sense because the solution is to understand who He is and who we are. The only way I can explain 32, 20-something-year-olds dying and their life being ended in cold blood is by this verse. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I can't explain it, and I can't explain the tragedies in your life, and I can't explain why your parents get split up, and I can't explain why friends stab each other in the back. I can't explain that. All I can do is tell you that His ways are higher than your ways, and His thoughts are much, much higher than your thoughts. Okay? So we look at God, and we say, you know what? This seems pretty messed up, okay? Just from the outside, it seems pretty messed up. But you know what? I trust that your ways are higher than my ways and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And we can say with King David, King David was like, when I think of this trusting in God business, King David was the man with this. Because King David had a lot of obstacles and much greater obstacles than us. He had a crazy king chasing him. He had a giant who's going to rip his head off, okay? And King David, what did he say at the end of his life? This is actually at the end of his life, and he wrote in one of the Psalms. Psalm 71, he said, "You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." King David said, "I've been through a lot with you, God. I've been through thick and thin with you, and I trust in you 100%. I trust that you're going to bring me up again from the depths of the earth. I was in the depths of the earth with this tragedy, with this problem, with this whatever happened, and you brought me up, and you increased my greatness. You comforted me on every side." God is ready to comfort you guys on every side if you trust in Him. Okay? So that was the four. So what was the first one without servants? Doubts. Number two? What was it? Okay, number three? And tragedies. Oh, we're over, right? Okay. So, in the end, in the beginning of this talk, I painted a picture of you guys without listening to this talk. I said you guys would be those who trust in God for a weekend, trust in God for a day, and then the first sight of problems, the first sight of anything that goes on in this world, we turn away from God. And we walk away from God. And we turn on God very, very quickly. Now I want to show you guys the picture that we all should be leaving this retreat again. Maura? This is the picture of trust, okay? What? Okay, this is the picture of trust that I want each one of you guys to realize. Okay, who is that?
Guy.
Servants, can we We may need to go over some of these stories. This is St. Peter, okay, when he walked on water, okay? This is St. Peter when he walked on water. This is you guys, okay? That's actually the wrong answer. Who is this St. Peter? This is every one of us, because I just outlined four storms and four thunders and waters and winds and seas and storms that are going to come into your life. I want you guys to take this and say, you know what? I'm going to step out of the boat for God. Okay, I'm going to trust in him. St. Peter was surrounded by storms, and he was surrounded by winds and crazy stuff. But you know why he was able to walk on water? Somebody tell me why. Trust in him? There's something he did. What did he do? Okay, what? He has another story. When, okay, did he sink?
No. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he sunk. Why did he sink? Okay, what did he do? He did something. He physically did something. Next retreat, we're going to go over the story of St. Peter. Okay? He took his eyes off of Christ. That's what it says. Okay? It says that immediately when he took his eyes off of Christ, he began to sink. Okay? And that's the reason he was able to walk on water. It's not because God had cleared the storms away from St. Peter, but because St. Peter didn't see the storm. And I imagine, okay, and I don't know, and I never talked to St. Peter, but if you would ask St. Peter at the moment he stepped out of the boat, Peter, what do you see around you? What would his answer be? I see Christ. Peter, do you see that big wave that's about to pound you? No. I see Christ. I see Jesus. Peter, there's a lot of, do you even know what you're walking on? I don't even know. I see Jesus. Okay? He saw Christ in the midst of storms and trials and tribulations and everything. That's what I want us to do. Because I can't promise you, and I won't promise you, that the storms and the problems and the tragedies and the disappointments and all that junk are going to go away when you decide to trust God. I can actually promise you they're going to still be there, and they may increase, okay? Because that's just the way things are. But what I can promise you is that when you look to Christ, when you look to Jesus, okay, you can walk on water too. You can do great things for God by trusting in him. Okay, St. Peter is our example. If you look at the next verse, last verse, this is kind of what I want us to say to God. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down to the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And that's the key, is to go to Jesus. The second Peter decided that I'm going to put my eyes on Christ, I'm going to look at him 100%, he could do anything. The walking on water symbolizes really the power to do anything. Okay? Because walking on water, like, that's the craziest thing ever known to man. So what God is telling us here is that if I can let you do the craziest thing in the world, then surely your little problem, your little doubt, your little disappointment, and your tragedy, I can overcome. I can let you step on that too. I can let you trample down on that if you will trust me. Okay? How am I doing on time?
5 minutes over.
I think so. And perfect timing of Lunar. And glory be to God forever. Amen.